Look who decided to show. Welcome in latest episode. That SEC podcast. I'm your host, Bammer Mike, over here. And there's old Roll Tide Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I already screwed up. Mike got a better name. Remember those? High Tide. High Tide. That's what we should have done.
Yeah. Road Tide Shane in the house. Hey, man, it is. I didn't know. I didn't know what team we were going to get, so I was anticipating a Texas A&M show. Thank God we ain't got to do that today because we got the Crimson Tide coming through here, Mike. And I tell you what, I like this banner. That's pretty slick right there. I like it every day, but the third Saturday in October, you know?
Yeah, I'm doing it just for Stephen Up. That's why we're doing it.
That's right. This is your show, Stephen Up. Come on in. Come on in. And before we get going too far, Mike, I want to remind the cousins that we are brought to you by Tennessee legend. Get that Bama out of here for a second. Let's talk Tennessee. That's right. If you're in Sevierville, if you're in Nashville, be sure to swing in to Tennessee Legend Distillery. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only will you get a bonus gift, but you'll also get a discount. Had a Vol fan up in there the other week, sent me a DM, said, hey, I had to get some of that nectar from the gods. That's right. Be sure to get your king snake at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Just remind them that we sent you.
I didn't know where you were going when you said you got that DM.
Yeah, my DMs are not like yours. Mine are like, hey, what do you want to eat? You know what restaurant you should try?
Aren't we supposed to announce it too, that we're going to be going to the Fanboy?
Yes, I was going to let you do it. I didn't want to take, I mean, you did all the work.
What did I do?
Oh, Fanboy. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's coming up. Knoxville, we're going to be there July, I think it's 10th through the 12th, and Comic-Con in Knoxville. Never thought I'd see that on my bingo card, but they asked us to come in, and I started looking at the guests that are going to be there. I was like, hell, there's going to have some big celebrities up in there. So looking forward to it. Went to a Comic-Con once with Mike many, many years ago. And I tell you what, man, this East Tennessee boy's mind was blown when I walked in there. I thought I was on some other planet, man. It was pretty wild. And if you like the people watch, it's a great place to do it. But if you like comics, if you like Comic-Con, definitely check it out. And look forward to seeing some cousins down there.
Do you remember the celebrity you saw that you, I thought you were going to fall over?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool seeing him going across the street. It just kind of blown my mind a little bit. But the funniest thing that happened at that one, I don't even know if you remember this, Mike, but we were staying in the same room and you guys said, Shane, your shoes smell so bad that you guys ended up putting them outside the hotel door. And I was like, I didn't even know. Next morning, I'm looking for my shoes, and I was like, where are my shoes at? And they're like, oh, we put them outside because they stunk up the whole place. So I was like, oh, okay. So I opened the door. Shoes are gone. The maids must have threw them out or something. I didn't bring a second pair. There I was in San Diego, California, with no shoes, and you guys had to go buy me some cheap flip-flops. But I was like, what am I going to do? You just threw my shoes away.
Well, speaking of stinking, Shane, are you ready to talk Alabama football? I'm kidding, Stephen Up. We appreciate you, buddy. What a donation here.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Always appreciate your cousins. Love that SEC podcast. We love you.
Hell Stephen yeah, M. Steve. That's right, brother.
And old Sipley, we appreciate you too. When's the real UT beats the fake real UT? Tennessee Legends needs to start selling it in Texas.
That's right. Well, you guys will be up here. You got a game schedule, so be sure to swing in there. Get you some real Tennessee hoots before you go back home.
All right, let's get into it, Shane. Yeah. Quick recap of last season. In Titletown there, 11-4, but 7-1 in the SEC. I think I think a lot of people forget that, Shane. It went into Atlanta as the number one seed, not even Georgia, number one seed in Atlanta, SEC championship. We can just kind of skip over what happened down there, but we were number one seed going into that bad boy. Man, and again, it was humiliating because I talk so much trash. We're going to whoop Florida State's ass. I was looking back at our preview last year, Shane.
Yeah.
It was in the should win category. No shot now. Yeah. You're losing it. You know, and it was a national embarrassment. But the fact that they rebounded and rattled off eight wins, or was that seven wins in a row right after it?
Yeah.
No, eight wins there. So, again, not great. But, again, the fact that you rattled off so many wins, got up right up off the mat, I think that says a lot about Kalen DeBoer and the program he's got there. We made it to the college football playoff for the first time under Coach DeBoer. And not only did we make it, we were the first team ever, Shane, to go on the road and win a college football playoff game. So, again, another record for the Crimson Tide in college football. But, again, for all the good things, it just seems like every time we have a big win,
yeah,
we have a big loss. And that's kind of like – that's something we've got to shake from this Kalen DeBoer. I think if we can get over that this year, you know, I think that would be a great step in the right direction.
Yeah, it felt like the season had its highs for the Tide, but boy, did it have its lows. You know, starting the season, not just starting, but ending the season, those two games were absolutely disasters. You know, and including the SEC championship, there it just felt like those kind of shrouded the amazing run that the Tide had, especially early in the season, like you said, on an 8-win run. But there was a moment, man, it felt like, damn, Alabama is absolutely back. But then something happens, and then we're like, maybe they're not back. Maybe it's one more year. Maybe Kalen needs one more year.
Maybe he does. Well, he's going to get it because they just signed him to a massive contract extension. But, you know, and this was interesting, too. I didn't realize this. Now, again, he coached at some other school. I think it was called Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie and, you know, say I know anything about Sioux Falls. So but I do believe he was there for a number of years. But aside from that, it is interesting, isn't it, Shane? He was at Fresno 2 years. And then, of course, he got the call up to Washington. Mm-hmm. And he got them all the way to the national championship game. He got the call up again. You're not going to say no to Bama.
Yeah.
So this will be the first time he's going to be in his third year at major college football. So it's pretty wild, given his outstanding track record, his record overall, that this will be the first time he's at somewhere for 3 years in a row since Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
I just think that's kind of noteworthy. And again, you just look. I mean, every year he gets better. So, but we don't know what a year three is going to look like.
Yeah.
But if history is any indication, I mean, they should be winning more than 11 games, because that's all this man does is get better and better and better. Here's his record against the Southeastern Conference. You know, he's got some good ones in there, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn, LSU, he's undefeated against both of them. Georgia 2-1. You know, I think anybody in the country would take that right about now. But the big black eye there, 1-2 against Oklahoma, 1-1 against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So again, he'll win you big ones, and then he drops ones inconceivably.
Yeah. No. But you know, I think when you look at the schedule too, Alabama hasn't had an easy road. They've had some very tough football games. Hell, I think you could argue they've what. What?
Schedule's too hard for Bama now? I mean, what are we talking about, Shane? This is a team that has dominated the sport for 20 years. And now we're saying, well, the schedule's pretty tough.
I mean, they've had a tough schedule.
Hasn't Georgia had tough schedules? And hasn't Kirby said to Sankey's face, you did this to us, and we still won this damn trophy?
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's the only time I want to hear Alabama, Georgia, Texas talk about schedules too hard.
The last two seasons, you have to admit there were some SEC teams that got easy roads, and there were some SEC teams that got some rough ones. And I'm just saying, I mean, look at this. You got two playoff teams in the if you count the playoffs, I mean, just look at, they had a lot of substantial games. But I will say again on that note, now you got me sideways, Mike, is not supposed to slap my wrist when I'm trying to make a point.
Well, this is why I'm laughing at you. Sorry to cut you off, but you deserve to be cut off right there. At recent track record, if you just look at the overall talent Alabama's had since 21, they're number one in the country every damn year, except last year they were number two.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear about how difficult the schedule is. When you have the number one most talent, and the one year you don't, you got two, and you've got a coach that they told us was elite as hell, took Washington to the national championship game. Mm-hmm. I don't think you got room for excuses.
No, I guess when you word it that way, Mike, you know, I mean, this is, it's hard to argue. I'm looking at it. I did not know that they had the number one talent. That's pretty impressive and kind of sad, you know, the fact that we've not had any rings along the way here.
Right. So again, I'm throwing that out there. Offensive success rate. They've gotten better.
Yeah.
Final year under Saban, they were number 44 in the country in offensive success rate. They got immediately better to 35. And then last year, a slight step back, 38. Defensive success rate under Saban, of course, elite. Stayed the same. They were 10th last Saban year, 10th first DeBoer year, but last year, 18th. Mm-hmm. So they've taken a slight step back on the defensive side of the football. But again, it's still very good. I'm not seeing any red here. That's what you want to avoid, all that. So again, just a little snapshot. But again, I always try to pinpoint something that stands out to me with these.
Look at that. Strength of schedule.
And for me, it's Bam on that talent. And number one, number one, number one, number one, and a number two.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I know.
Strength of schedule, you're right. I mean, it's not easy.
Right.
But... I don't think that could be an excuse with the talent they've had.
No, not when you're sitting there at number one and two, right? And I'm thinking about some of the coaches we've talked about up to this point, and just you have to ask yourself, what would they have done if they had number ones and number twos? You know what I'm saying? So I will defend the Tide today, but that's a tough stat, Mike. It is a tough, tough stat you threw out at me.
All right, well, speaking of tough stats, Shane, offensive returning production for the Crimson Tide. Mm-hmm. 30% of the offense is back from last year. Again, this is calculated by passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps. We're 30%ers back. That's 13th in the SEC, so quite near the bottom. A big part of that, of course, is Ty Simpson was a first-round pick. So only 9% of our passing yards is back. That's 10th in the SEC, so not even that close to the bottom, really. Rushing, 46%, that is 13th in the SEC. Couldn't run the ball to save our life. Receiving yards, 48% are back. That is 4th in the SEC, so that's a bright spot right there.
Mm-hmm.
But then here, Shane. Offensive line, 15% of the snaps are back, 14th in the SEC. 6 of the top 7 offensive linemen via snap counts are gone. Of course, maybe you say, well, we didn't have much of an offensive line, so who cares, you know? I mean, there's silver linings there.
Yeah, I mean, who judges this talent that we're talking about?
Now, here's where we should be solid, Shane. Defensive returning production, 53% overall is back. That is 6th in the SEC. Defense was very good last year. 50% of the tackles are back from last year. That is 9th in the SEC. Tackles for loss and sacks, 50%. That is 5th in the SEC. Interceptions and passes defended, 61% are back. That is 4th in the SEC. So here we can hang our hat. We're going to have a really good defense again. We've added via the portal. I got very little issues. I mean, you could talk me into Bama having a top 3 defense in this conference next year.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me one bit.
No, it wouldn't. And, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about coaches here in a minute, but I think there's a little bit of continuity. You showed me that offensive side, and I was just looking at all the different coordinators that have come through there.
Yeah,
they're not going to have to deal with that on the defensive side. And I feel like that gives them a leg up for sure.
I think so too, Shane. I think so too. All right. Hey, how about transfer portal? transfers. Yeah, we take Emmett at Bama when we have to. Now, again, what in the world is on three smoking? I don't know. I just don't know. But 24/7 has got this as the 18th portal class in the country. On three's got this as the 39th. And again, I think that's because we got 19 incoming transfers,
yeah,
23 outgoing. So I'm pretty sure on three factors the outgoing, which is fair, but not on this damn preview, Shane. So what have we done via the transfer portal? We've really tried to shore up defensive line and offensive line in Tuscaloosa, led by, we had Nick Kelly on the show a couple weeks ago. He said, watch out for this guy, Shane, Devon Tompkins from Southern Cal, tearing it up. I project him as a defensive line starter for the Crimson Tide. So, yeah, again, we have a good defense. We're getting a transfer that's going to likely start. That's a hell of a sign. Man, tough break, though, for Noah Rogers, NC State transfer. He was projected to start. He got hurt in the spring. He is expected back, but I think he's going to miss a little bit of time. So hopefully that doesn't happen, mm-hmm, but I still think he's going to make a big impact for this football team. A linebacker, Caleb Woodson from Virginia Tech. He's supposed to be a real primetime player as well. And Terrence Green, defensive lineman from Oregon. And then I've just kind of, we'll get to the depth chart here in a minute, Shade, but I mean, I didn't know what offensive lineman to put on here because they added about seven via the transfer portal. So good luck trying to figure that out. But that is quite likely the biggest question mark hanging over the entire program right now is the offensive line.
It just still kind of blows my mind, you know, when we started talking about, like, when the transfer portal became a thing, right? We just felt like Alabama, here we go.
Alabama's the rich on, getting richer.
They're going to get 10 of the best players. And it's still kind of, and I know money's a big factor, but it still blows my mind that Alabama is just not killing it in this portal department.
Well, I mean, if you believe what they tell you, Shane. Apparently, Bama doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, the AD said it.
I know.
And I've heard agents talk about it. They want these guys to take a discount.
Yeah.
Because it's Bama, you know, and
luxury tax, we call it. Yeah. And that luxury is going away these days. These kids don't care.
Right. Show me the money, you know.
That's right, man. We need a salary cap, don't we?
Now, help could be on the way via the recruiting class, though, Shane.
Yes.
Number six recruiting class in the country, number two in the Southeastern Conference. So, you know, maybe that's a strategy here. The long term, we're trying to put DeBoer's fingerprints all over this thing. We just gave him a contract extension. Yeah. We're not here to run his ass off. And you're bringing in some stars, Shane, including E.J. Crowell, number two running back. I went and watched his highlights last. I was like, I keep hearing this guy. What is he worth, Shane? I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry because there's only one Derrick Henry, but he's kind of like that Eddie George, you big bruising back.
Yeah.
But he's faster than everybody on. Now, again, it's high school, so
yeah,
take that for what it's worth. But it's like, how is a man that big, that much faster than everybody? You know what I mean? So I think Alabama got a hell of a running back in E.J. Crowell, the true freshman. Xavier Griffin, the number three linebacker. These are all five stars. Mm-hmm. Jair Edwards, the number two safety. So three five stars in this class for Alabama. And then a couple of high-end four stars. Shane Jordan Edmonds, the number four corner. Jet Tamila, hope I said that right, number five quarterback. Shane, a quarterback named Jet? He better be good. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we were playing a video game. We're like, yeah, he's starting day one.
Sededrian Morgan, the number six receiver. Max Sutter, what a name there, number seven tight end. And Zion Gibson, the number nine corner. So a lot of high-end elite talent coming to Tuscaloosa, yeah, via the high school ranks. It's the old school method, Shane. Maybe that's it. You know, you don't add all these transfers if you're adding all these freshmen. You know, it's kind of a pick your poison type game.
Yeah. Don't do what everyone else is doing, you know? Do what you want to do. And I'm starting to see a few more teams like this. Hell, look, we just had a team win a national title that did a lot of this, just kind of keeping that continuity, keep growing from within, keeping them on the campus. And maybe that's what Alabama is going to do here.
Yes, I think that's true. All right, let's get into my best guess, Shane.
Yeah.
On the offensive depth chart here. And what stands out to you here, Shane? Again, not a trick question here.
Returning starter.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, that's pretty wild, isn't it? And then also you could say of the top, first and second string of the offensive line.
Yeah.
We quite literally have seven transfers among the 10, which I don't know if that's good or not. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's awful, but I don't think that's necessarily good. I think this is a reflection of the transition from Coach Saban to Coach DeBoer, and maybe they didn't bring in linemen or they misevaluated linemen. I don't know, but the fact that the entire second string may be transfers.
Yeah,
I don't know that that's good for an offensive line because I like some of these starters they have, but you know we're one injury away from potential disaster.
Right.
But I do really like these receivers. I think this is the best group on the team. Shane Ryan Williams is back. And I know people like to pile on him, but I think he is really good. Lotsier Brooks was a true freshman. He really started to play well at the end of last season. Rico Scott's he scored a couple touchdowns. And again, name to remember that Noah Rogers, the transfer that got hurt in spring. I would have him as a starter if he was fully healthy.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be back and I think he'll be making some plays. But give me the receivers as the best position group.
Yeah.
And then everybody I think is sleeping on the quarterbacks. You know, same things we said about Tennessee, just because I know everybody knows the name Keelan Russell by now, I would think, the 5-star true freshman. I do project him to start, but you just gotta look at DeBoer's record. You gotta look at Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator's record. They do nothing but produce elite quarterbacks. And Keelan Russell's the most talented one they've had yet. And it may even be Austin Mack. I'm not convinced one way or another. But point being, if Austin Mack is better than Russell, that tells me he's probably a hell of a quarterback. So we may be looking back here and saying this quarterbacks should have been number one.
Yeah.
Would not surprise me at all.
It's a good room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the fact that you don't just have one far and away. It's like, okay, we've got two serviceable quarterbacks here. And if one goes down, we've got another one that's right there with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next I'll go running backs. We've got Daniel Hill.
Yeah.
EJ Crowell, AK Deer. I mean, we've got some solid options here, particularly if Crowell, if he emerges like I think he will. I think he's going to be a star in college football. So then, of course, last but not least, well, I mean, I guess they are least, that offensive line. Michael Carroll was really good. He was all SEC freshman. So, again, I'm not saying these guys are like awful or anything.
Right.
William Sanders played 15 games last year. I think he's ready. But, again, mixing and matching everybody else, I think it's with a new offensive line coach. DeBoer said this spring, Shane, I've never had it where replacing all the linemen and the coach. He's sort of, I don't know. It's like he's literally never done this himself. You know what?
Yeah. But again, I just think production, you know, even though it's short-lived as far as teams you're familiar with, you talk about just finding the most out of the least. He's been able to do that at every stop. So with the talent that they do have down in Tuscaloosa, there's a reason that they're flirting with the playoffs every single season he's been down there. And I'm expecting them to hit the ground running this season, even with this offense that's just kind of pieced together right now. I'm just kind of letting go of the reins and saying, you know what? I trust you here, coach. Let's see what you got.
Well, let me just one final thing. And again, this is Bama preview, right? I'm not trying to pile on here. The projected starter, and again, maybe I'm just dead wrong, but I've got him as Racine Delgatti.
Yeah.
He played at Cal Poly last year.
Yeah.
I mean, is that where we should be if we're Alabama? Again, he may have been the best Cal Poly lineman of all time, but if that's our starter at Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a cause for concern or Or do we just find ourselves a diamond in the rough here?
Mate, that's what we're doing today, Mike. We found the diamond. This is a big offensive line, probably the biggest that he's had down there. I mean, there's some absolute. I mean, even that guy's 6'5".
Is Kirby starting Cal Poly lineman?
You know, when we start talking about their GPA, you know, he's smart. You know, he was at Cal.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right, now the defense. Again, I think the defense is going to be damn good, Shane.
Yeah.
Say what you want about the offense. But it's defense. I don't even think this is a bold statement, Shane. I think it's the defensive backs.
Yeah.
Could very well be the best defensive backs as a whole in the country. And I know that's saying a lot, but Bray Hubbard, he was first team all SEC last year.
Yeah.
Keon Sabb, Xavion Brown, all these guys, 15 starts. Red Morgan's back. He played in 15 games. Dejon Lee, he played in 15 games. We even got backups that are very experienced. Xavier Mincy, Ivan Taylor, Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. I mean, we're absolutely loaded with talent, depth, and elite freshmen coming in. So I think the secondary very well could be the best in the conference,
yeah.
Best in the country.
Most experienced anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah, that says a lot. And I like this. I mean, honestly, there's been so many good teams over the years that just hung in there. Like you think about Tennessee's run in the college football playoffs. How they do it? An elite defense. Oklahoma makes it to the college football plays. How they do it? Elite defense, you know? And Alabama's poised to have a really, really good defense, almost potentially an elite defense. And maybe that's why they're able to continue this run.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then next position group, Shane, that I think is the second best is the linebackers. Yancey Pierre emerged last year. He's just a game wrecker is what he is, Shane. 14 and a half tackles for loss, 8 sacks. He's a guy, I think he could have went NFL. He would have got drafted. But I think he's going to come back to dominate and be a first-round pick. I mean, I think he's that caliber of an athlete. I've heard really good things about Caleb Woodson, the transfer from Virginia Tech. He's had like 200 tackles the last 2 years up there at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like this linebacker group. Caden Jones is experienced, Justin Hill, Luke Mertz. I mean, a lot of guys with a ton of experience here.
I'm sorry. I was just noticing all these positions, and I think I found mine. Can you find it over there? This is my quiz to you.
I mean, you could be a Husky or a nose tackle, but I'll go with a Husky.
That's what they used to call it back in the day, you know, when you go to Goodies to get your jeans, they'd be like, oh, you're in the Husky section.
Well, I don't think you can play old Husky in this lineup. That's kind of their nickel. No. But
yeah.
And then so last but not least, and again, this isn't, I know I'm putting them last here, but this is not a weakness by any means, is that defensive line to me. Yeah. With Devon Tompkins, I've already spoke highly of him. London Simmons is back. A name to know, Shane, Jai Latham here. He was banged up last year. He was kind of like a starter, but he was lost for much of the season. So I project him as a backup. I don't believe he did much of anything. I don't think he participated in spring because he was still working himself back. So hopefully he can be 100%. But when you're getting in like a starter to come up, potentially come off the bench.
Yeah.
I think that gives you an idea of how talented and how much depth we have here at Alabama on the defensive line too.
See, here it is, man. This is why we do both sides of the football. You know, I was worried there for a minute. Now I'm feeling a little bit better about that Crimson Tide.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the defense is going to be good.
Yeah. Oh,
and yeah. they got a kicker too. Connor Tolte. He's back for his fourth year, Shane. So even if we stall out in the red zone, we're going to be making field goals. Like, no, it might just take 3 field goals. We can beat you with this defense. You know what?
Absolutely, man.
All right. So biggest camp questions. I mean, I think it kind of goes without saying is, you know, quarterback decision looms over everything.
Yeah.
But I think more importantly is that offensive line mm-hmm. because we've lost the ability to enforce our will on offense at Alabama. And number one, I don't care who the quarterback is. And they might both be amazing. They might both suck, Shane. None of it's going to matter.
Yeah.
If they can't push people off the ball and run it, like they have at times failed to do in a big, big way. We've got with this defense, we got to be able to run the football, take pressure off the quarterback. I think that's the biggest question mark of the whole team.
Yeah, you go back, and I feel like the ultimate downfall of Nick Saban was when they were unable to run the football. Because you think of some of the greats that have come through there, and you know there was times when we're third and short where there'd be, it doesn't matter how many people you put up front, Bama was going to get a first down, and then they weren't. They were doing trick plays and gimmicks, you know, and we got to get away from that. I feel like if Alabama can get back to running the football. But again, like you said, they retooled that offensive line. So right now it's just guesswork.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just think that is big of I don't know if concern's the right word, but just something that looms over the whole program.
Yeah. This is an interesting team. You know, I think it's the least that we've talked about Alabama at media days. I hate to say it, but that's just where we're at. There's so many sexy storylines that are going to be coming in there that we're going to overlook. And when we talk Crimson Tide, the only thing they want to talk about is quarterback competition. When there is a lot of good things coming back, but yeah, there are some bigger question marks, I think, that Alabama will have to answer early in the season.
And, you know, there's always going to be pressure to win at Alabama, as there should be.
Yeah.
But could you see a scenario where, you know, it's an interesting spot to be in where you got all these incredibly fresh, talented freshmen? Mm-hmm. How soon do you play them, though? Because, again, you know, talent but inexperience, if they drop a game they shouldn't because they got all these freshmen on the field.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a catch-22. We demand you win now, but you also got to build around all these freshmen because if you don't play them these days, they leave.
Yeah.
You know, that is a little bit of a conundrum in itself, trying to figure out which freshmen are ready. Because I think there's, at spots, particularly on offense, I think there's going to be a lot of youth on the field. Could you see that being a camp question as well?
Could be, right? But is that what you want to do? Like, if you're a gambling man, you know, that doesn't want me to put money on this team. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, let's take a chance. Now, the greener grass side of me is saying, hey, man, we got some super talented. I mean, you just saw the talent. Look at all the talent that Tuscaloosa's had down there. What if this is the group that gets them back on the map? What if this is the one that puts them, you know, back in that national title spotlight? So, I still feel like if it's there, you got to put the best player on the football field, and there may be some growing pains along the way.
Any chance, though, that DeBoer, you know, he just got that massive extension, that he is more eager to play young players? Because he's like, I dare you to fire me. I got to say,
I don't know.
Not that he's trying to get fired, you know what I mean? But, like, if they go 8-4 this year, I think if without that extension, he might be fired. But now that he signed it, He's fine at 8-4.
He's golden. Yeah, he's fine. And sometimes if you're not making the playoffs, the best thing you can do is sell the future. And that's why we always like seeing the young quarterbacks play. That's why we like seeing the young running backs come in. Just because, again, you're showing the boosters and the fans, more importantly, that, hey, man, brighter days are ahead. We're close. But I know Tide fans don't want to hear that. We're 3 years in, Kalen DeBoer. I mean, this is like when you think of a new hire, you say, you know what? Year 1 and 2 will excuse. Year 3 is when we're expecting it to pop. So the expectations down there, the standards that has been created by him and Nick Saban, they're through the damn roof. If they don't make the playoffs, they're going to be riding down there.
Remember Dooley said year 0? Maybe this is DeBoer's somehow year 0. You know what?
Yeah, is that it?
Well, here's what they were saying about Alabama and the Athlon Sports College Football Preview Magazine from the anonymous coaches here. With whoever was going to follow Nick Saban, there's going to be a measuring stick on the toughness or the softness of this program. The run game statistics do not vouch for toughness. They have to fix that. Losing Ty Simpson doesn't help. The top two running backs are gone. Three of the top offensive linemen are gone. Receiver Jeremy Bernard was a special player. Losing all of them doesn't allow people to play you honest so that you can run the ball. people are going to be able to play too high safety, create multiple looks, and create issues for them. Double-digit point losses were never a thing under Nick Saban. Now they're a thing. That creates concern, talking points, and narratives, which is tough to deal with because the players see it. What's your reaction to all that, Shane?
I'm just trying to imagine which coach was saying all that, you know, just didn't get the Alabama job, but I mean, that's why we're concerned, you know, because we're saying, I mean, if you couldn't get the running game with what you did have, and like you said, the talent, like replacing it, then all of a sudden you're like, hey, we're going to fix it this season. So yes, it's a definite concern for me. And in this league, it's they've shown if you get one dimensional, you will not win. So Alabama at times was so one-dimensional that they, you know, barely made the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of hard to fathom where they would have been without Ty Simpson at times last year. You know what?
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
there's times people didn't even like Ty Simpson, but
not on this show, damn it. We told you all offseason he was going to be a hell of a player, and that turned out to be true. All right, Shane, here's a schedule breakdown here for the Crimson Tide. 8.5 is the over-under win total. They're 9-1 to win the Southeastern Conference. They're 22-1 to win the national championship. They open at home against East Carolina, at Kentucky week 2, Florida State week 3, South Carolina at home week 4, at Mississippi State week 5, Georgia at home week 6, at Tennessee week 7, A&M week 8 at home. Then they get their one and only bye. Then they're at LSU, at Vanderbilt, UT Chattanooga at home, and then the Iron Bowl at home. So you ready to play a little win, loss, or toss?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. Here's how I got it, Shane. Win, loss, or toss. You tell me if you agree. I got a bunch of wins, should be wins for old Alabama. I got 8 of them. East Carolina, at Kentucky, Florida State at home, South Carolina at home, at Mississippi State, at Vanderbilt, Chattanooga at home, Auburn at home. Do you disagree with any of those 8 should be wins?
I do not disagree with you.
Okay. And then, believe it or not, Shane, I don't have any should be losses here. I got nothing but tosses. I got Georgia at home, toss, at Tennessee, toss, A&M at home, toss, at LSU. And what you know, they're all all in a row there, Shane. Any of those should be losses for you?
No, just kidding. No, they should all be tosses.
And normally I think I would lean Georgia a loss perhaps.
Yeah.
But we've just had so much success. I know the SEC championship is that's the outlier, but we've had so much success against them.
Yeah.
And getting them at home, I'm not ready to make that an automatic loss.
I could push it if it were on the road.
Right.
But no, I feel like we've got a good spot here.
You're always in a good spot, Shane.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to break down these games, pick them one by one?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, as an optimistic Bammer homer over here.
Oh, yeah.
I've been my whole life here. Week 1, I ain't going to waste your time. East Carolina, nope. Get the hell out of here. You do got a cool logo. That's about all I can say about you. You're going to get your ass hammered week 1.
Yeah, it's a cool little area, too, if you get a chance to get over there. But other than that, I'm right there with you, Mike. This is a big win for Alabama.
Where is that? I don't even know. What is the area?
It's in Eastern Carolina. And I will say,
well, I know the name of the school, but I'm just wondering where that's at.
I don't know exactly where it's at. I just imagined the state, and I just thought, figured as far east as, like, I don't know, the Outer Banks. I don't know. Damn, I didn't know you called me out on geography here. but I will say one of the cool things about this game, Mike, is there's going to be, with especially all that newness on the offensive side, this is a good football team because it's not a Chattanooga. It's not a peanut butter. It's, you know, ECU gives teams fits. it feels like every time we see an SEC team go against them. And I'm not expecting a close game here, but it could be a good one for the Tide to kind of work those kinks out.
Shout out Michael Dunlap. He says it's Greenville.
Yeah.
And he says it's a dump.
Yeah. I didn't know. I was hoping it'd be a little bit further, but Greenville sucks.
I just kind of like blew past them. That is, they've already announced it, Shane.
Yeah.
ABC nationally televised. Bama, East Carolina. That, it makes me think they might be setting us up for like, you know, one of those where it's like a one-score game at halftime. And you're like, oh, what's wrong with Bama? You know, before they...
We fired DeBoer.
Yeah. Then they win by 50, you know?
Yeah. He comes out with his black hoodie on.
All right. Week two, Shane. Is it a trap game? I don't know. At Kentucky, Will Stein. Now, they got a cupcake week one, so they're gonna hide everything. We're not going to know what they're going to throw at us up there in Lexington. They're already circling the wagons. They're asking me, can we get game day? Game day up here in Kentucky? I think they might get the SEC network show.
Yeah.
So there is hype around it. It's going to be one of the better Southeastern Conference games early in the season. But, Shane, for all these, little scabs we're picking at with Alabama.
Yeah.
Kentucky would break your damn back to have this roster. Come on, Alabama. We're going to whoop Kentucky's ass in Lexington.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I do think this is probably the best you'll see Kentucky play. I feel like Kentucky's going to have that little edge on them where people don't know exactly what the offense will look like or the defense will look like, you know, that newness that they could take advantage of, which could make this game a little more interesting than it probably should be. But right. I do feel like talent at the end of the day, Alabama's going to be able to lean in on that and put this one away. So I would say multiple score wins here.
Ooh, I like it, Shane. All right, revenge game, week three, Shane, Florida State coming to 10, and they don't got Gus Malzahn to save them. It's time. He's retired, in case you had heard. So Mike Norvell, he might not even make it to this game, Shane. I think Florida State's got a couple, I mean, not difficult for most teams, but difficult games for them to open a season. I've heard some discussion that he may be fired by this time, but... this has got to be a win. This has got to be a big win. I can't even remember the guy's name, Shane. Once these guys leave the SEC, I kind of just forget them. But the guy that was at Auburn last year that was starting at the end of the year, he's the new Florida State quarterback. So he's got experience against Alabama. He started the Iron Bowl, and I thought he looked solid, particularly against Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. But that's all I can say nice about Florida State. Come on, you get your ass whooped week three. Of course, I said the same thing last year, and I was dead wrong. But this is like a must win for Alabama. You can't lose to Florida State again.
Mm-mm. It's like President Bush once said, fool me once, shame on you. Wait, fool me twice, never be fooled again. I can't remember. That's right. You ain't going to lose this damn game, man. You got to go out here. And there's no – I'm not saying overlooking Florida State because you can never do that. But I do think that the work that will go in practice prior to the film study, everything that needs to happen for this game to be successful, I think they'll be completely – locked in. So yeah, give me a big win here. Bama starting out 3-0.
I'll make a prediction now, Shane.
Yeah.
The losing coach, he gets fired.
Yeah. I think Norvell's definitely on the hottest of hot seats right now, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
If you're DeBoer, you can't lose to that guy.
No.
Twice.
No, you can't get, you can't lose to the fired guy. Everybody's like, shit, we got to give him another year. He beat Alabama again.
All right, week four, tricky game, Shane. Gamecocks come to town. Mm-hmm. They've given us fits 2 years in a row. I think they're going to be significantly better on offense with Kendall Browse, offensive coordinator. Randy Clements, offensive line coach, and bringing back a ton of pieces at receiver. And, of course, Lenore Sellers is back. They've been saying a lot of good stuff about the running backs they brought in, and they've really done their best to retool that offensive line. I think they bring in seven or eight transfers on the offensive line. So again, I don't think it's going to be easy, Shane. I think it's going to, this will be a 4-quarter contest, but it ain't happening.
No.
You can't be losing this game at home if you're Alabama. It should be at least a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. You can give them 10 quarters. It don't matter. I'm telling you. The Tide, they like to play with their food, and they're going to play with the – I can't use that one. But, yeah, I do think that Alabama beats the South Carolina Gamecocks. But I do worry about this. There's always those early season games. Like, I'm not as worried as Florida State as I probably should be. I'm not worried with Kentucky. But the South Carolina game, you know, it just feels like this could be a big year for them, kind of bouncing back. And if you catch them at the wrong time, and especially if that offense is not ready, this could be an interesting matchup. But I do like Alabama to win this game.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then the next game, Shane, at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Cousin Cameron was calling me out on Twitter today, Shane, saying, no love for Mississippi State. You know why I don't got love for Mississippi State, Shane?
Why's that?
Because they lost 16 in a row to Alabama. It's never damn competitive, you know?
Yeah.
And when they hired Jeff Lebby, I mean, that was a disaster. I say it about all these teams. Don't hire a guy that's never coached. Because we're here in year three saying, can Jeff Lebby coach? You know what I mean? Like, it's just so asinine. You got to go out here and prove me wrong in games like this.
Yeah.
At least make it competitive. But they don't even make it damn competitive. Uh-huh. I think Alabama steamrolls them.
Do you know how close this game is to Tuscaloosa? No. They'll remind you during the game at some point. But, you know, one thing about this one, Mississippi State, I do like Mississippi State in some games this year. This is not one of them just because of the teams that Alabama has faced up to this point. I feel like that Mississippi State style will be practiced at nauseam by the time we get to this point. So I like Alabama big in this game.
The only thing that could get them, maybe the cowbells, right?
Maybe.
Will they have that little bell? Ding, 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 ding. Remember that? All right. Oh, now the big one, Shane.
Yes.
Georgia. Showdown here. Could be two undefeated teams meeting in Tuscaloosa, game day, prime time, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
This has been a hell of a series, Shane. Like I said, you know, last year was the outlier with Georgia winning in the SEC championship. But prior to that, I mean, Bama had won 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, Bama had won 7 in a row. So, I mean, they kind of own Georgia, right?
Yeah.
On paper, I think Georgia's a better team. I really do. And I think Kirby's a better coach.
Mm-hmm.
But DeBoer gets up for these big-time games. So, Georgia's a pick, Shane. I hate to do it. Georgia's winning the national championship, in my opinion. But they ain't winning in Tuscaloosa come October 10th. Get the hell out of here. Nobody goes undefeated in the SEC.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, right? And I feel like Kalen has proved to us that he could beat Georgia, right? You saw it with the wins and losses that they've had against this series. But I don't know, man. The year feels a little bit different. This is going to be a damn slugfest. And I'm like you. I do not think that there'll be any undefeated teams. So that means Crimson Tide has to lose a game, and this is the one I'm picking. So give me Georgia to get this win. So Alabama suffers their first defeat at home.
Here's why this is a dumb comment, Shane. Nero Ultra?
Yeah.
Saban's not there. Georgia not scared of him. Kirby's been in Athens over a decade.
Yeah.
He's got as many wins over Bama in over a decade as DeBoer has over Georgia in 2 years.
Yeah.
You better be scared of them because they keep whooping your ass. You know what I mean? If I lose to someone every day of the year, I wouldn't think I have their number.
Yeah, it takes. When does it become like? Like, I feel like after the first two, the two you can excuse, but the third one, like when you lose three, that's when it's like, man, maybe they do have our number. And then you start thinking about it, you know?
I think so. All right. Next game, Shane, should be another fun one at Tennessee, third Saturday in October.
Yeah.
Now, this is another one, Shane, where Bama has dominated. But not anymore, not under Josh Heupel. They have struggled the last several times. Neyland Stadium, Tennessee has beaten Bama. Mm-hmm. And I would say even the games in Tuscaloosa, I know last year was fairly one-sided. Yeah. But I'd say the last three in Tuscaloosa have been like almost gone down to the damn wire. You know? So, I mean, this has turned back into a nice little rivalry. And I think a case could be made, Shane. A lot of people are out on Tennessee. We're not out on Tennessee, but a lot of people are. I don't think I've heard anybody being like, yeah, this is going to be – I think this is going to be a better ball game. It just seems like people think Alabama is going to steamroll Alabama – or Alabama's going to steamroll Tennessee. Well, they're right, Shane! No, they're not. Tennessee gets them. Neyland, the curse of Neyland. So here's what DeBoer does, Shane.
Yeah.
He wins this massive game day, number one versus number two showdown.
Yeah.
Then he turns around and loses. I think Tennessee will be ranked, but it'd be even funnier if they're unranked, because that's what he does. He beats Georgia, he turns around and loses to unranked Vanderbilt. That's literally happened to him. I think it happens again.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the battered Vol syndrome in me just – knows exactly how this one's going to play out. Tennessee will have the lead probably, you know, 3.5 quarters of this football game, and then there'll be some stupid penalty that goes against them, and maybe a fumble that didn't get called or some bullshit, and Alabama finally, you know, takes that kicker that you just talked about so highly, and he puts it right through the uprights as the time expires. So I get Alabama going on the road, winning barely in Neyland Stadium.
Give me back that cigar, Shane. I'm taking it back from you. All right, hey, another big one, Shane. A&M.
Yeah.
Comes to Tuscaloosa. And I believe, you know, they're a tough team for me to peg. I'm a big believer in them, obviously. But you could tell me, you know, we could make the 8-4 jokes again. You could tell me they go 8-4. I'd believe you. Mm-hmm. You could convince me they go 12-0. I mean, that would be a harder sell. But, again, they went 11-1 last year. So, like anything in between, what is this A&M team going to look like? I think they're going to be very, very good. I think this is going to be one of the tougher opponents that Alabama plays at home this year. This is a complete toss-up. Complete toss-up, Shane. But, again, we got Kalen DeBoer, Mike Elko. Give me DeBoer. Come on, Alabama. I think you can get it done. And that could be the game that saves your season right there.
There's been so many games I've watched of Alabama and Texas A&M, and I'm like, this is Aggie's year, right? We've convinced ourselves they're gonna beat Alabama. They're just better. They're more talented. But no, we know what the outcome will be in this game, and it'll be Alabama by 13. So give me Crimson Tide with another big victory here.
Well, you've kind of convinced me otherwise.
Really? Because
everything you said is true.
Yeah.
But that was the Jimbo years.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But
yeah, I know. I don't know.
But I'm sticking with it. Give me a win over A&M, but that's going to be a tough one, you know?
Yeah. Remember that we were talking about the toughest little grouping of games? Got this one, and then you got this next week that you're about to bring up. It's a tough, tough road here.
Right. So we have 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
But we're at LSU. It's going to be tough, Shane. It's going to be tough. Lane Kiffin, you know, he's got an axe to grind.
Yeah.
He wanted that Bama job. He still wants it. I don't care what he tells you. And now he wants to beat Alabama's head in. Uh-huh. For picking DeBoer over him. You know what? So LSU also has 2 weeks to prepare. The SEC conveniently does that every year. So both these teams got 2 weeks to prepare. Epic showdown. They want it to be a playoff-type atmosphere, and it very well could be for this one, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Coach DeBoer has not lost to LSU. How about that? Now, that's a big reason why Kiffin's down there, to fix that. And you know what I feel about LSU and Lane Kiffin, Shane. I think Kiffin, whiffing Kiffin. I think not even he whiffs this one. I think it's too personal. I think Alabama goes down at night game, Tiger Stadium.
You know, I'm doing this optimistically, but realistically, I look at that road game in Knoxville, road game, Death Valley. There's a loss lingering there. And I just don't know which one it is. It's like one of those 0.5 games that we talk about. But optimistically, I mean, get your popcorn ready. Big game, Lane ain't coming. Come on. They're going to realize real quick that Alabama owns them. So give me Crimson Tide on the road getting yet another big win. SEC championship coming up.
Do we start sitting
some players?
Well, we better not for Vanderbilt because they have been up there with us. Of course, they beat us 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Last year was one of the best damn games of the early season. Tide prevail. But I do think this is a different Vanderbilt team. But they ain't scared of Bama, Shane.
Yeah.
They probably should be. Come on, Alabama's winning in Nashville. But, you know, that's a tricky game, too, for them.
Yeah. We remember that back in the day. We want Bama. Ugh. Be careful. This is a different, like you said, different Vanderbilt team, but it will be a closer game. It's not like Bama's going to have a 40-point win here. This is the way that Vanderbilt plays football. They're going to keep it as close as possible. I just think the Tide kind of takes this away in the second half. So give me Alabama with a win.
All right. Then we're not going to waste your time with UT Chattanooga. Nope. That's an easy one. But now the Iron Bowl, Shane. Ooh, Alex Golish, they're prepping for the Iron Bowl every damn day, they say. I love that. They need to, Shane, because they've lost about six in a row here in what was, you know, this used to be cited as the best rivalry in not only college football, but arguably college sports. And I don't know about you. I mean, this game has no luster anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of interesting when Hugh got there because his track record, but we all knew what a damn joke he was. He was never going to do anything of substance. I know Harsin that one time almost beat him. Like, that's like the best memory of his damn series in 6 or 7 years was the time Tank Bigsby should have stayed in bounds. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's how uncompetitive this game could be. And I think Golish brings it back. I think he makes it interesting. But interesting loss. So give me Bama to beat Auburn there.
Yep. They close out the season with an Iron Bowl victory here. Alabama moves forward, probably going to be in the SEC championship. This could be a really good year. And I know we did this optimistically. There are some very tough football games on the schedule, and there's a lot of things that could go wrong along the way. But I think if you're a Tide fan and you're looking at this schedule compared to some of those seasons we've had in the prior, I think you're convincing yourself that we're going back, baby. We're building something here. So give me another win and 11-1 season.
Shane, I don't think there's no shot in hell that Bama's going 11-1. Like I'm willing to shave my head if they go 11-1. Shot it's happening.
Wait, is that a record? Are we doing this on record? 11-1?
I mean, yep. Yeah, I think you got to give something up too, though.
Yeah.
You got to wear a wig for a week.
I'm going to find a mock wig that I'm going to wear. Okay. I mean,
there is no shot in hell Bama's winning 11.
What'd you say? Let's say, what was the over under 8.5?
Yeah.
So
I struggled to get to 10. I think 9-3 is much more realistic.
Let's just say win 7 games. If they win 7 games and that's it, after the Iron Bowl, I'll wear a wig for a week. in public too.
Oh,
I ain't scared. I ain't scared.
Yeah, that'd be good.
With the SEC mic hair, I may just keep it forever. Who knows? This may be a win-win.
All right. And then most important games to win. Now, this was tough because there's a lot to pick from here, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
But I went, again, here's the schedule. My three most important games for Alabama this year. I went Georgia at home, A&M at home, at LSU.
Mm.
And a lot of it has to do with the placement. You know, I don't think we don't got to win all these.
Yeah.
But I think if we beat Georgia, I think we could go on to have a really special season.
Right.
But if we don't.
I'm a little indifferent here, Mike. Okay. I really think that Tennessee game on the road is going to be important.
Yeah.
Like you said, you've mentioned Josh Heupel has proven that he can beat Alabama at home. And it's just that stretch. So I like LSU in the mix. Again, another road game. But I don't know. Georgia is important. I get that. But I think an A&M I would say Tennessee, A&M, LSU. Those are the three that I'd be. You lose to Georgia, guess what? You're still going to the SEC title. You lose to Georgia, guess what? You still can go to the college football playoffs. But you start dropping some of those other games, then I think they're a little bit more important because things can go sideways quickly if you start losing in that little streak there.
Okay, I think that's fair.
Just and based off what we saw last year, right? Bama had that shitty start, but then they caught fire, and then all of a sudden, they just every week, it felt like they almost got worse. And we can't have that. We got to have a team that's on an upward trajectory by the time they hit the playoffs.
I think that once I said I'd shave my head, I just locked you into, you're just like 10 times as smart.
We got to do it, man. 11-1.
All right. So final thing I like to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yes.
Taking off your Bammer goggles here. 1 to 10 chances, 1 being low, 10 being high. Chances that Bama makes the college football playoff.
Makes the playoff? I'm 5.3.
Is this a schedule, though? Now, I know I said last question, but
yeah.
Is this a schedule where, again, this could change, right? But I'm trying to determine which, if any, of these schedules at 9-3 maybe gets us in.
That 9-3 does not get Bama in. Mm-hmm. But Mike, I for me personally, and I know this is, I mean, shit, this is June 17th, right?
Yeah.
I feel like what it boils down to is between Georgia and LSU winning two of those games. If they can win two of those games, they're in the playoff. If they don't, then they're out. And just because of the timing, because you lose to an LSU, A&M at the end, or a Georgia and an LSU, and then an A&M, it's so late in the season that I just don't think that you're going to have enough. There's nothing on your resume past LSU that's going to get you back in the mix.
Right. Okay. I think that's fair.
You better not lose to Florida State. I swear to God.
What if that's the one they lose, though? They beat them all.
Yeah, well, they'll take that, right? Florida fans are happy because they kept Norvell again.
Hey, shout out, Steven.
Oh, Roll Tide, baby!
Great show, cousin. Thanks for making my night. Looking forward to seeing a ball, Mike. And then Simply gave 20 donations.
Thank you,
I'm seeing a couple of these, but unfortunately, I missed a lot of these. These band geeks, Girth Brooks, I am Scroot, Adolf Wolf. Those are what we got. That's all I'm seeing, unfortunately, for Simply. And then the legend, Shane, JP in the house. They gifted 20 memberships.
Thank you,
as well.
There he is.
Here's JP's. Trey Mitchell, Benihana, Michael Valentine, Richard Shear, Just In Time, cool name, Jonathan Pappett, Daryl Hunt, Aaron Morgan, Tody B, Pat, Jason, Ken Ray, Trev, Andrew Parsley, Jason Haynes, some are all in, Chris Clay, Texas 38, Breaking Parallels, and C.O.R.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of J.P.
J.P. The voice of the SEC.
Anything else before we hop off here, buddy?
Oh, no, man. This is, again, thank you. I can't thank you enough, Mike, for putting all this work in. And, man, I appreciate all the cousins. I know there's a lot of cousins in here that absolutely hate Alabama, but they love being part of this wonderful community that we were able to create. So I love the fact you're here, and we're one day closer to some real college football. And buddy, I'm telling you, man, we're right around the corner from SEC Media Days. This damn thing's about to get started.
Man, I hope your decibel thing's catching on 4.9.
There it is.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Roll Tide.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.